There it is, the famous intro music from producer Ellie. We're here for episode 2 of Rocking Chair Ramblings. We've got 4 of the 5. So we've got Matthew and old co-host Chair, old number 2.
Good morning.
Says, good morning like a grown man at noon. We've got Will. Hey, buddy.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. We've got Mama. Hey.
Hello.
There it is. All right, we've got some stuff to cover today. So let's start with anybody's feelings after we've published one podcast.
I mean, I feel like it's going to blow up pretty soon.
All right, if y'all didn't listen to everyone else's segments in the last podcast, I believe Will says it'll last 4 years if we don't struggle, but that there's a chance that we'll get thousands of people listening. Matthew said zero chance anyone other than family listens for 2 years.
And it'll take 2 years before we have a complete stranger listen to the show.
Just a random stranger.
Just someone.
Through word of mouth or marketing or what?
They'll just randomly like come across it.
Gotcha. And babe, what'd you say? Oh, you didn't. It didn't matter.
Yeah, I don't think the outcome matters. It's about hanging out with our people.
Yeah. So we're trying something a little new today. So we have...
And y'all are stuck with us forever. So this is lasting forever.
I mean, we're just never going to stop.
I think
never
I might stop. Just live in the basement for the rest of my life.
Okay. Well,
as long as you podcast once a week.
Podcast and be a productive citizen.
So you can do one of those.
Okay.
We try out this new thing today. So we have Will... He's coming in on his phone audio. Alicia's coming in on her laptop audio, and then Matthew in the rocking chair, and then me in the old host chair. So if it sounds a little different, that might have something to do with it. The other thing is, friendly reminder, we don't know what we're doing. So that's part of it too. Let's talk about some other predictions. Let's talk about the big one. How did we predict the Georgia game, and then what happened?
I thought it was going to be a close game because every Georgia game is a close game. But I thought we were going to win it, but it was not close, and we did not win it. But I'm glad Gunnar Stockton did well. He'll be our QB1 for the next 2 years, so it's good to see him get some action.
Will?
I was fairly confident that it was going to be an easy win, and it should have been. But I think we have a lot of coaching changes coming up that we definitely need to do, like our wide receivers coach, our offensive line coach, our offensive coordinator, all that needs to happen if we're gonna be able to do good, because Gunnar Stockton did well, but I think it was Bell drop a touchdown pass that was, I mean, Matthew could have caught it. So There's a lot of things that need to change. But yeah, it wasn't a pretty game. I think we beat ourselves. Notre Dame isn't going to do much. I don't even know who they play next. Who is it? Penn State?
Yeah, Notre Dame plays Penn State.
They're not going to touch Penn State. I think Georgia beat Georgia, and Notre Dame was there. So, ooh, I don't know what Georgia, to see.
Georgia beat Georgia, and Notre Dame just happened to be there?
Yes.
All right, I'll read you some stats in a second. We'll see if it pans out. Hey, babe, quick question. I know how you felt because we are lifelong Georgia fans and we've been around a little longer. I don't know if you listened to Will's segment, but Will was pretty confident that Georgia's walking the dog on Notre Dame. And I kind of tapped the brakes a little bit. Do you think that might have had a role in how the game turned out?
Well, when you've grown up with multiple national championships, that's all you know. And so, and we know that Will is super humble, and
yes,
that had a role to play in it too. I hear a lot of hate on the wide receivers. I get it, but my position is that line let us down. They didn't protect Gunner. He was killing it. I was super proud of him. The wide receivers did have some terrible plays, but as a 2005 UGA graduate, who has experience? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Who finally got a national championship, you know, in the last couple of years. I feel like we always go into these games doubtful and already frustrated. And Mike Bobo just fed into that.
Yeah, Bobo's tough. Bobo's tough. I don't know how. Bobo's been at Georgia multiple times and in that OC spot multiple times and multiple times. Well, every time he's been there, same reaction from the fan base. So it's very interesting. No doubt he's good at what he does, but wowzers, it's tough. And I think that when we feel like we're not producing offensively, then it just goes straight to him because we do have what seems through the TV screen to be a vanilla offense. I know there's a lot going on in the background, and then his offense is always to set up next plays, but it's also to set up next quarters, which is tough for fans. Yeah, but I agree. I mean, dang, the left tackle gave up 2 sacks.
How much of it was our O-line and how much of it was just that left tackle?
Man, that was tough.
And then to bench him and then put him back in the next drive.
We benched him
and then we scored and then we put him back in.
Yeah, and then that was really tough and confusing because when we put him back in, dang, he gave up another one.
Yeah.
We know we don't utilize the old adage of history is the best indicator of future, right?
Right.
We're like hoping on a prayer. Like hope is not a strategy. And I feel like we were sitting on the hope that maybe he'd be different this play. Well, he's proven to you that he hadn't before. Like recently, 30 seconds prior, whatever.
Hmm. Yeah. No, it was very confusing. And I realized that, like, dang it. As just a fan, like these guys operate on the highest athletic level. But as just a fan, you would think that we're deeper than that. That any big, not just a D1 football team, but, man, winning national championships football team, you would think we're deeper off the bench than that.
I feel like we should have. We probably do, and it's probably more of a coaching thing. But we have these 5-star talent athletes sitting on the bench that are just dying to prove themselves as to why they should be at Georgia and why they should play more at Georgia. I mean, that substitute left tackle, he did pretty good. I didn't see anything bad. He didn't allow any sacks or anything like that. It's just, I don't know. I feel like we're weak right now as a program.
Ooh.
Because, man, this left tackle, he's been playing every game this year. I really hope he does really well. And then when he doesn't do well, we go, well, I think he could do better. So let's just put him back out there.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a huge part of me to Mom's point earlier. It's like, man, if you've been a Georgia fan for as long as we have, there's a part of me that's like, you won the SEC championship. Calm down. Tap the brakes.
We did win the SEC champ. I'm not disappointed from this year. I mean, I would have liked to do better, but I'm never going to be mad at a season where we won the SEC championship.
It just feels weird. No, I agree with you, and that's the right attitude to have. It's just, man, when you look at the product on the field, it just feels like we leave something on the field during the game. I mean, I like to think I look at it from a little more than average fan, football fan, but maybe I don't. Maybe it's just quality that makes me feel like we're leaving something on the field. I don't know. Y'all ready for some stats?
Yes.
All right. Georgia outgained Notre Dame 296-244. They only allowed one offensive touchdown, and that one play was a 13-yard drive, just 13 yards. Notre Dame's longest offensive play of the night was 32 yards. That was a QB run from Riley Leonard. And just to add something to Georgia's defensive effort, Notre Dame did not have a pass play longer than 14 yards, and the longest run from a running back was only 8 yards. You know, if you take Riley Leonard, the quarterback, out of it, his runs out. The longest designed run from a running back was 8 yards. And then Stockton was 20 of 32 for 234 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
So we just couldn't find the end zone.
Yeah. I mean,
before halftime, what was they scored like, what, 13 and like, what was it, 30 seconds or something crazy like that?
Yeah, I think it was like 54 seconds game time. but really only 20 some odd seconds that they actually had the ball. Right, because there's, what was there, a kickoff and something like that in there too. But anyway, yeah, it was quick. The talking heads say if you play that game again, you know, 10 times and Georgia wins at 7, right? But it doesn't, it looked like we got beat. Right? It just felt like it, or at least it did to me.
No, I don't know. I think it was just we didn't show up. We didn't really care. I don't even think Kirby cared that much.
So. That's tough.
Yeah.
He obviously cared.
He cared to win, but I don't think they wanted it that bad.
Like we were looking past Notre Dame?
I think we were. I don't think they had the exact same offense as Georgia Tech, where they just have that quarterback run around, and we still were not prepared. Because we just played Georgia Tech and brought them to 8 overtimes, and we still don't know how to attack the quarterback design run. But I don't know. There's a lot we have to fix.
Yeah, stay in our lanes. So David Pollock says his prediction is that that Georgia loses 35 to the portal. Loses is a relative term nowadays. As many people that go in the portal, I'm sure that we're not losing those as much as we're just getting them off of the rolls, because we'll gain as many as we now. That also we could see some coaching changes, pretty big. And then he hinted at Bobo and the O-line coach. What do y'all think about that? What do you think if you win the SEC? Let's just assume that Bobo is no longer the offensive coordinator at Georgia. Let's just make that assumption. Can you walk through that? Like, what do you think about that? If you win the SEC, you beat Texas twice. Texas is still in it, and then you essentially lose your job. What are your thoughts?
It'd be hard to find a different coordinator or even like an assistant coach that would want the Georgia offensive coordinator position if the previous offensive coordinator won the SEC championship and then got fired. I don't think we're going to fire Bobo, but even if we did, I feel like we would also get disappointed at the next guy, and then that coordinator position would just be a seat that will never get filled. It would just be in and out. It's like our defensive coordinator spot, except our defensive coordinator always gets hired as a head coach at a different program. Our offensive coordinator would move around just as much, but because we're firing him, not because our defensive. We just need a guy. I don't want it to be Bobo, but it might have to be Bobo. But I just want a guy that we could look at instead of, because right now all we know about our coaching staff right now is that we have Mike Bobo at offensive coordinator, Kirby Smart at head coach, and then everything else is always changing. I think we just need to have a set coaching staff, especially with this transfer portal. We need some kind of constant.
Yeah, so you're saying a solid offensive coordinator, somebody that comes with a name, not that we couldn't get anyone, because it's Georgia, obviously you can get somebody, right?
Right.
But you're saying someone that comes with a little bit of pedigree, a little bit of
I would like someone that's got a lot of experience under their belt.
Yeah.
But not just at Georgia.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, question then, that's interesting. So, our defensive coordinators typically have been big name, right?
Right.
We haven't had a lot, thankfully, but Kirby's a defensive guy. So we had Kirby coaches, right?
Right.
We had Oregon's head coach is a Kirby guy.
Dan Lanning.
Yeah, we had old boy that went to Tennessee. So, and then our defense coordinator now, who's a stud, but he's still a Kirby guy. You can see it during the game too, right? And I would assume we would see the exact same thing if Bobo was on the field. We don't know what's going on through the headset, but we'd assume the same thing. I think it's really tough to keep the longer you keep your coaches intact, the better. But man, I think that's just really tough to do at the big programs, because if you're getting after it and you're really good at what you do and you're working hard at it, which shows in if you're really good at what you do, then it's because you work so hard. Typically, that personality leans you to want to be a head coach, right?
Right.
So if you're really good, programs are going to call. I don't know what the smart – so does that mean that you're having to pick up – so all right, so here's the question for everybody. if you're in that position, if you're in that Kirby Smart position and you assume that Bobo, you're going to let Bobo go, do you prefer to pick up a past offensive coordinator who's now moved on and become a head coach and it didn't work out, right? So someone that's coming back to offensive coordinator, that's what Mike Bobo did. Remember, he left and went to Colorado State as a head coach, and then it didn't work out. He went to, I believe, South Carolina as an OC and then back to us. Someone like that? Or would you prefer to pick up a someone who's been an offensive coordinator at a smaller school, or just something wild like I was a receivers coach and now I'm getting this OC nod? And then we've also done the NFL didn't work out for me as an OC. I'm gonna try to be a college OC. What do y'all think?
I think we need to reach out to Boise State head coach. I think that'd be cool.
Take Boise State's head coach and make him Georgia's offensive coordinator.
Yes.
You're just dreaming now.
I don't know if he'd accept that job.
I think he would, because Ashton Jeanie's gone, all their other good seniors are gone. It's gonna be like Michigan all over again. So I think he wants to get out of there, keep his name going at offensive coordinator for a big time school, and then maybe have another shot to build his own dynasty somewhere else after a while.
I think you're playing Madden.
I don't know what you're doing.
You guys can doubt me. It's gonna happen.
If I were a head coach, if I were a head coach, and it's going great for him right now, by the way.
Sure.
But if he wanted to leave the program, awesome, he'd become a head coach somewhere else. He wouldn't drop back down to offensive coordinator. You know how many programs want to?
He's promoting to offensive coordinator at Georgia. He's not dropping
down. I don't think that's a promotion.
That is a promotion.
From head.
Where did Kirby Smart come from before he was a head coach?
And he was a what? Defense coordinator.
Where did the current Alabama head coach come from?
Washington.
What was he?
A head coach.
Oh, okay. Well, what about there was someone else that was I think it was Texas. They were also a coordinator under Nick Saban.
Yeah, Steve Sarkisian. But Sarkisian was at USC?
He was before the guy that's at USC right now.
So Sarkisian was a head coach and then had some off-the-field issues with consumption, old Southern word, and then lost his job because of it, and then was out, and Coach Saban picked him up wisely and just kind of rehabbed him through his program as he helped, because he is a really good football coach. He just, you know, wasn't making good life decisions. So for him, it wasn't a, hey, I'm leaving a head coaching job and going and being a coordinator somewhere else. Now, having said that it does happen, right? But if you're doing that, you're typically a, let's say you're a D2 coach and you become a head coach at a D1 program, right? And do well enough, but not a program that we hear about every day, right? And then you leave a head coaching job for a coordinator job at a bigger D1 program.
What about Kennesaw State's head coach?
I mean, other than the fact that he embarrassed Liberty, is that what you're thinking of?
I mean, it was his first year at D1 for the entire program, and he won a game. That's impressive. But his offense was pretty good too. I'm just saying, if he can rebuild a D2 team to become a D1 team that can win a game, I'm sure he'd do a lot at Georgia as an offensive coordinator.
What do you think, babe?
I think at the end of the day, we have to trust Kirby Smart. Kirby clearly has something working, because we continue to be really awesome, and there's some fine tuning that needs to happen. But I guess I don't get into the weeds like you guys do on it. And at the end of the day, it's Kirby's team, not the OC or the DC. So if he ain't producing, then it's on him.
All right. So from a let's just go then from a hiring perspective. You hire. So let's just say you're hiring whatever. You're the president of Duke's Mayo, and you're hiring mid-level executives. Would you prefer to pull up a high-performing mid-level executive from another company, or would you prefer to have someone who is a high executive or even president of a smaller company come in, like, and essentially it, on paper, quote unquote, drop down title wise, go from a head coach of a different program and then come in down a title, but at a much bigger company. What's your thought? Do we gain something from the experience of being it, the buck stops here?
Well, yeah, but the buck stops here in all of those positions. It's just a different scope and level of responsibility. So I think it's much more complicated than that and requires performance metrics and individual capability of the candidate. The position held prior is a data point and a variable in the decision-making process, but I don't know that it's the driving force, because a small program, albeit you may be the head coach, but you may be, your scope is still much smaller than a larger program where you're the OC from people, budget. I mean, you know, you go through all of the line items. I think it's great to have that experience, but I think it's just one data point of many. And if you can't get in line with the head coach, then it doesn't matter. So some people, right, like that could be a big input to the process, is going from being a head coach. So to Will's idea of Boise State, being able to go from being the guy to being the number two, some people's egos can't handle that transition. And that could be a pretty devastating variable if somebody can't acclimate to the program they're joining. So I think it's so much more complex, and it depends on the individual.
So, like, devastating from a cancer in the locker room type of deal, or devastating to the – yeah, for sure. I follow that a lot with, like, Uncle Zach's excited about Gus Malzahn leaving his UCF team and headed to Florida State, because Uncle Zach's a big UCF guy. There's your interesting one, Will. So that's a head coach leaving a D1 program that has a name that we've heard of and headed to Florida State as a coordinator.
Yeah, so there you go. It does happen.
No, yeah, it does happen. I don't know that you – if I tell you this, had UCF had the year that Boise State had, it would not have happened.
Except here's the thing. Boise State, it's they're a sinking ship now. So why would you stay? Why not jump and be the number two at a float ship and then use that to jump onto a different float ship?
A float ship. Yeah. I like it. So question, why do you think Boise State is a sinking ship?
They're losing Ashton Gentry, who carried them all the way to the playoffs. And they're losing a lot of other senior guys that I don't even know the names of.
Well, I would argue you don't know the names of any of them. No, we didn't know Boise State was going to be good. We didn't.
I don't think anyone did.
But what are the chances they're going to be good again next year? They have nobody else to step up, like Washington. Washington lost. They're really good. Michael Penix, and now they're nothing. So why stay?
Okay, what if Boise State has a running back who grew up and learned how to play football through the powerhouse of high school sports, the best place in the world to learn how to play high school sports, which we all know is
IMG Academy.
No, true. Is it the South? Is it Texas? Or, no, it's the Department of Defense education system in another country, which is where Ashton Gentry learned how to play ball. So, maybe they have another one of him.
Somewhere away from us.
Yes, somewhere away. Like it's not South Georgia. That's a close second, right? It's obviously other countries on military bases. I'm being funny, Will.
Let's get a guy from I should get a guy from like Estonia, you know?
Yeah. Like it's basketball. Well, maybe they have that at Boise State and we don't know. But
I don't think they do.
Well, that's okay. Bigger question for you then.
Okay.
What on that same thought process, because this is Rocking Chair Ramblings and we go from one thought process to the next, do you not gain, like, where's the loyalty? Is it just to you? Or are you like, hey, we did something here at Boise State. I love it. I've listened to him talk. He sounds really impressive. I'd love for one of y'all to play for him. Do you just leave if you don't think you have anything left in the tank?
Yes.
I don't think he's the kind of guy to just leave Boise State.
Will Pippen is, evidently.
Will would just leave immediately.
Yeah.
But it's not just about Ashton Jeanne. I mean, Boise State has something going on in that locker room that I don't think any program has going on for them right now. And then you've also got the guy behind Ashton Jeanne, who was sitting there watching him perform incredibly, working with him, learning what he does. I mean, it's not just that one athlete's going to leave a legacy that other people are going to try to chase afterwards, which is just going to make your program better. And that head coach, he probably sees this going on. He's going to stay. He's going to want to see, because would you rather just have like two good seasons would you rather be a player that has like four great seasons, but they're each with different teams? Or would you rather be a player that has three great seasons, but they're all with the same team?
Well, two things. One, we've named this kid three different last names now. I think it's Genty.
Is it Genty?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's not Genty.
Genty.
I think it's Genty. Anyway, I would much rather stay with the same program. I think it's weird that we don't stay with the same program. Having said that, I'm 44 years old, so I ask you two, would you rather have three solid seasons or four solid seasons with the same team, or would you rather have three seasons with one being exceptional, but you've bounced from team to team to team?
Well, I think because in his case, it's not four solid seasons because this is his only solid season, and then nothing going to happen next year. That's my bet. I'd rather have four solid seasons and it's with different teams than one solid season, three bad seasons with the same team. Because why are you going to go down with Boise State now that you know?
At some point you are Boise State, right? Or at least that's the hope. From a coach's perspective, you hope that. You hope that there's buy-in enough.
Because like, it's not like Kirby Smart is going to jump to a different team because he's built something great. Well, he went into something that was already good and was able to recruit up to something great. But nowadays, you can't do that because everyone's just going to leave with the transfer portal. So you have to, as well, go to the transfer portal and go to a different school.
So you think head coaches are going to start jumping as well?
Oh, yeah. And then other people are going to try to make a name at their smaller schools. It's sad. It's unfortunate, but that's just what it is now.
Well, it's sad enough for me already. I don't like the jumping around, period. That's why I don't watch the NFL. Like, I don't understand. I can't get my head wrapped around a team because players leave so often. And college is getting that way. It's going to be that way now. This year is going to be a just craziness of transfer portal junk, even compared to last year. And these poor 2025 high school graduates, and they're kind of stuck in this weird place. And 26 is going to be kind of like that as well. And hopefully it works itself out at some point, but there's a solid chance that it doesn't. So the new thing is not, hey, I'm graduating from high school. I want to play, you know, college football, and you know, God has blessed me with certain attributes and numbers, and then I've worked my butt off. Now I get to go to this college and give them everything I've got. The new thing is, now I'm gonna go JUCO. I'm gonna try to make a name for myself there. I'm gonna immediately go over here. And I'm going to try to go over here, and I'm going to try to climb this ladder to get to any high D1 school, make a name for myself, go to the NFL, make a name for myself, make NIL money in college, then go to the NFL. I don't know how you run a locker room that way, because aren't you just saying then, hey, it's all about me in a team sport?
I don't know how to pronounce the word. Here we go. Team camaraderie.
Yeah, give it to me again.
Team camaraderie.
Yes, that's it right there. One more time.
Team camaraderie.
Hey, babe, did he say team poverty?
No, commodity.
Oh, commodity.
Oh, Will, try to help him.
Team camaraderie.
Camaraderie, you got it right there.
Okay.
Nice.
It's not a thing anymore. It's like...
What's not a thing anymore?
Okay, I'm not going to try to say it again.
Yeah, just catch us up. What's not a thing?
Team commodity.
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 I don't know. Just one more time. What's commodity?
Camaraderie.
Yes. Camaraderie. What is that? What do you think that means?
There's no more loyalty to you. I could have just said that this entire time. There's no more loyalty with your team.
Hey, that's your baby.
There's no more. What? Come on. There's no more loyalty towards your team anymore. It's like wrestling. It's a team sport, technically, but everyone thinks of it as an individual sport, especially the athletes. Athletes think of it as an individual sport. And that's kind of bleeding into football. It's kind of, people don't really care about the team. Well, I think NIL kind of messed people up because people are pretty selfish innately, especially when you're good at what you do and you know you're good at what you do.
Yeah.
You're going to try to capitalize it off of it as much as you can. But these people are, they're not looking in the long run. It'd be much more beneficial if you're stay at one school for 4 years and everyone loves you, and then when you leave, you know, they name the locker room after you or something like that. But instead people see this school has the ability to make so much more money from it. I think I'd rather go there. It's not about the team anymore. It's about.
Yeah. Which I think is sad. Well, let me make one point. We'll ask Mom if she thinks this is going to run back around, but who do I believe is the greatest receiver?
Oh, what's the name of the guy that would just like destroy DBs? Like, yep. Not with routes or anything, but he'd just like, yep, shoulder into him.
You're thinking of him.
Played for the Steelers, right?
Yep. Played for the Steelers.
Can't remember. I know who you're talking about, but I don't.
Yeah, Hines Ward.
All right, Hines Ward, greatest receiver of all time, in my opinion, right? Hines Ward is currently receivers coach for Arizona State. On his social media, do you know how he describes himself? He says that he played for the Steelers and that he's a receivers coach for Arizona State and that he's a Georgia Bulldog.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because he played at Georgia. He balled in. He played hard. He gave it everything he's got, so it was family to him. So even when he played for the Steelers, and I mean he's a Hall of Fame guy. If he's not in the Hall of Fame, he will be. He's definitely in the Steelers Hall of Fame for sure. Like, even in that capacity, and he played way longer for the Steelers, obviously, than he did for Georgia. He's still a Bulldog, right? Like, and not just because I love the Dogs. Like, name the other school. He is that, right? You see it with Ohio State when they do their, when teams do NFL introductions. How does Ohio State players, alumni, how do they say it?
They always go, Matthew Pippen, Ohio State University.
Or the.
The Ohio State, that's right, University.
So you see it there. Have we lost that? Do we lose something when we lose that? What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree we've lost a lot, and we will continue to until we get our priorities straight. When money continues to be the priority, everything else falls. Camaraderie, full fall. Value of loyalty and wanting to be an excellent athlete and a excellent teammate will always fall to the last, because man is always confused and distracted by money.
I think that makes us not as strong of a person as we can be, and therefore definitely not as strong as an athlete. What are the three things that cause the fall of man, boys?
Money, sex, and power.
Money, sex, and power every time. It's all about the me there, right? And that's the awesome thing about athletics. And I think the awesome thing about even just high school sports, because college is getting so skewed, if done correctly, team sports force you to stop thinking me, right? If I'm a stud high school offensive lineman that can block the world, but I continuously leave my assignments to go try to get a pancake on somebody that's not in my assignment, we're not going to win a football game, right? Like, we have to – You gain so much from making it not about me. And when we jump in this new college thing where we're all over the place, I'll take the kid that drives the 1984 F-150 with no AC over the kid that's driving the $300,000, what was it?
Carson Beck's car?
Yeah.
The Lamborghini?
Yeah. Right. And I think it does something to the locker room. And to y'all's point, is it possible, and I think it is, that our that Georgia's locker room was already a mess. And the fact that we won the SEC championship and the fact that we made it into the playoffs in a bye, is it a testament to how good God made them, right? When he made each one of these players, when he knit them together in their mother's wombs, that level, not how good we performed as a team for the year. And probably says a little bit about how the SEC performed in general. What do you think?
Well, I mean, look at their performance off the field prior to the season starting.
Yeah.
That's definitely a locker room issue. It's a discipline issue. It's a coaching issue. And that falls on Kirby. To our earlier conversation, Kirby owns that. And if you don't hold people accountable, then it's only going to play out, and you've got the situation that the season ended up with. No discipline outside the locker room, no discipline in the locker room, and very little discipline on the field.
Yeah. Oh, well said. If you were going to a D1 football program and you've been recruited by several D1 football programs, and then one of them was like, listen, when you come here, here are our rules, and that program has shown you in the past that if you don't follow the rules, you're out. Against a program that's like, listen, you're the man in high school, you're going to be the man here, we're going to treat you like the man, you're different from everybody else. Where are you headed?
I would go to the discipline school, probably because they're better. Discipline school is usually... like, look at Army and Navy this year. They did incredible. And they're some of the most disciplined people ever. But knowing people my age, my generation, they're going to that, you're the man every time. Because people, I think what happens is they grow up when they're at high school. People are like, he's the best receiver ever. He's incredible. And then when they go to college, they expect that continue to happen to them. So they'll go to a school where they'll continue to do that. Because they look at the discipline school, they're not going to think, oh man, they're so mean to me and all that. They're going to look at them and think, they don't know how good I am. I'm too good for them. They don't know how to handle criticism because they never had to face it before.
Oh, thanks.
They're going to go to the other school that's going to tell them they're the man.
Yeah. And I think another thing that's part of that, with the conversation that we were having earlier, is as a head coach or a positional coach, even as an AD, I could probably convince myself that I can handle 315-pound O-lineman. I can handle their all-about-me, selfish, bad attitude for one season if I think it brings something to my team that we need to win, not win long run, in the long run, but win right then on the scoreboard for that season, because I'm going to lose him anyway, right? Because you're losing everybody, right? So does that makes discipline that much harder. It's got to be difficult as a head coach to be like, hey, we've got a huge game this week. We're going up against our rivals, but you just got a ticket for reckless driving. You're out. You're a solid two tight end team. You don't really have a number three tight end that can do it, but you need to run two tight ends most of the time, 12 personnel, and both your tight ends were out drinking Wednesday of game week, and that's against the rules, but they were caught. How hard is that as a head coach to be like, hey, you're out?
No head coach is going to do that now, except maybe like Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, I love Dabo. Because it's so difficult to, one, play long game, but two, to our point as we open this podcast, and I didn't do it intentionally, but I am a genius. Does the fan base give you the leniency? Right? Because it's not necessarily things we would know. So if you don't perform to your standard, do you get the leniency? Does the fan base go, hey, at least they're growing young men? Do we give them that leniency? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think we need not as Georgia, but as college football in general, we need a coach to just go, you know what, we're going to be bad, but we're going to be disciplining these guys so well. They're gonna buy into the program so well that 11th season, we're going to go undefeated and we're going to win the national championship. But people these days, fans these days especially, they can't look that far into the future. Like, we're already talking about next season. This season literally just ended. It's not even over. And right. We're already looking, instead of going, hey, we had Nate Frazier as a true freshman who did great for a running back this year. Cash Jones was a walk-on, and he's doing great. Gunnar Stockton is an incredible quarterback. We're going, well, next year, I think we need to get rid of Mike Bobo. Yeah, instead of looking at all that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And it seems like, to your point, and I hope that Boise State's coach is like this, but it's so difficult. But to your point, when you talk about coaches that are like, nope, we're doing it the right way here, and we're doing it this way, and this is the only way we're doing it, Dabo Swinney's probably the only name you can pull up.
I think so.
So I mean, some would argue that Saban used to do that, right? But I would also argue that it's probably one of the reasons why he left.
Saban got out at the perfect time.
Yeah, well, he said that he and Miss Terry decided that you're not molding young men anymore, so we're out. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It does change. It just changes everything, and I'm sure that on a team of 85, that some of those you are molding young men there, but you're not molding all of them. And then you have to, if you're gonna put up with and stay in your job. So high school football becomes the new what we used to love about college football. What do you think about Liberty football?
What's that for you?
We just lost our quarterback. He went to Colorado.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens, but.
Is that a loss?
Yeah.
Solid question. He hit the transfer portal 2 years in a row, Ben.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that it's a loss.
Yeah.
He was really good, and we need him back. He's not coming back, though. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do at Colorado, though. I'm interested to see how he plays. But, I mean, just watching the bowl game, our new quarterback has a lot of learning to do. But
Liberty.
I'm excited just to go to games because it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for you.
Liberty, I think Georgia will always be the team I root for.
Georgia plays Liberty. While
do they
you're
really?
There, no. I'm just saying if Georgia and they might in another sport. I haven't looked it up. But if Georgia plays Liberty while you're there, who are you rooting for?
Georgia.
Like hardcore wearing your Georgia stuff.
Georgia is my football team.
What about basketball?
Basketball would, oh man, I don't even know.
What about women's golf? Women's golf, Liberty versus women's golf, Georgia.
I don't care. I don't care.
Just don't care at all.
No.
All right. What about something you truly care about, which is obviously robotics.
The e-sports
Liberty
team.
Robotics against Georgia Robotics.
Mixed doubles tennis.
Mixed doubles tennis.
I think Georgia would win mixed doubles tennis.
And that's who you're going to root for?
There's a lot of tennis players down south that are really good.
Sure. Hey, babe, if we are headed to Liberty games fairly often, which I'm sure we will, and Georgia ends up playing Liberty in mixed doubles tennis at Liberty, who are we rooting for?
You root for one, I'll root for the other.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yep, go Dogs. Mom's rooting for Liberty, she said. You heard it right there.
I just hope both teams have fun.
Yeah.
And it's a good competitive game.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's my...
There Ow. You
no, you don't. Wait. No, you don't. There's no... No, you don't. There's no scenario where you watch any sporting thing and you're like, you know what? Dang it, I just wish both teams have a good time.
T-ball.
Even Super in Bowl. T-ball. Even in T-ball.
Well, in T-ball, I do find myself
rooting
for a team.
Yes, you're
going to
find the one charismatic little T-ball player, and you're like, I hope that kid kills it.
Every NFL game I've ever watched, I just root for the offense.
NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, NFL's weird like that.
I just cheer for Georgia players.
Very boring to watch.
Listen, y'all got in a dart gun war at the house a few days ago?
Nerf
Quickly.
Gun.
No, yep, you're right. Dart gun. That would be
That's different.
different game altogether. Nerf gun war at the house, and we immediately chose sides.
I was just laying on the couch, and they all jumped me.
And it was hilarious.
And you
I was
shot hoping. Mom.
On accident.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up. In the eye.
I was trying to shoot you in the eye.
Come on.
Yeah, and ruined it. Abram shot no one in the eye.
Yeah.
Well it was Abram and Ellie against me and Matthew.
He did shoot me in the face a few
times. Matthew had no team camaraderie, though, because he kept trying to shoot me.
I kept getting up off the couch to get you bullets. Nerf bullets.
Yeah. There you go, Will.
I got off the couch for you.
Thanks. Thanks, man.
All right, how long do y'all think we've been on this podcast today?
50 minutes and 53 seconds.
You're cheating. You're looking at the screen. All right, so a couple questions for everybody, and then we'll wrap it up. Texas versus Ohio State.
I'll go. It's the Ohio State.
Oh.
I'm not doing that again.
Is that a nod towards the Coon family?
Yeah, because I'm a loyal. And I did not prove that to them, and it backfired because the Ohio State continues to win.
Okay, so Texas being in the SEC means nothing yet, right?
No, because it's their first year, and let's be honest, no. They got some more to be.
No, they do. Who's the best team in the SEC this year?
Georgia.
The University of Georgia.
Okay. I mean, Texas is still alive, and Georgia's at the house. I was just wondering.
Yeah, but who won the championship?
Yeah, Georgia.
I'm picking Texas because it's being played in Dallas. And Ohio State's got a lot of problems right now.
Did you see their last game?
Well,
zero problems.
They also, well.
No problems at
all. Ryan Day schemed up that game because his job was on the line.
Okay, whatever it takes.
I have Texas in a close game because Texas always plays close games.
All right, I'm texting Mr. Dan.
They win because it's in Dallas.
Mr. Dan, I'm sorry you had to hear that, but Ohio State is going to steamroll every single team. They could all three teams could merge their teams together and use their best players, and they would still not even come close to what Ohio State has.
Okay, that's egregious.
I think Jeremiah Smith goes for 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns.
In one game? 1,000
yards? In one game. And then in the championship, he goes for 2,000.
Will never picks little. He picks big.
No.
Ohio State by a million.
And then says, I hope everybody has a good game.
Ohio State is winning easy. I think Georgia, even if we didn't have Mike Bobo as an offensive coordinator, still could not beat Ohio State in their current state.
All right, I agree with that.
I wanted nothing to do with Ohio State this year.
No, I was very scared to play them.
Penn State, Notre Dame.
That's tough. Where's it being played?
I got to ask Matthew. The co-host had one job, and that was to figure out where these games were being played.
I was never informed.
It was a meeting. Penn State's got a lot to prove also.
They do. I guess I'm holding a grudge with Penn State for years of bad behavior.
Sure.
And dirtiness.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, while he's looking it up, Penn
it's
State.
Miami.
It's Penn State Notre Dame. You got Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
All right. Penn State has a black head coach. Notre Dame has a black head coach. A black head coach has never won a national championship in college football.
Really?
Yep.
I still think Ohio State won.
Because we're rambling and we don't really have a subject, I just want to throw this out there. Can Hines Ward be our receivers coach?
So here's the thing, and it's a terrible time for you to bring this up because we're at the end of our podcast. But
I think wait, save it for next time.
Well, all right, let's tease it with this. I think, and we'll do some research, I think Hines Ward has reached out to Georgia to coach at Georgia.
Why would we not take him?
I would love it.
If
you had a receivers coach in place, maybe, just maybe, Hines Ward had to go to another school, and he went to Arizona State. Arizona State, obviously a great school, did great this year. Maybe that's his coaching pedigree that gets him back to Georgia if Georgia's receivers coach is gone.
Yeah.
But is college football ready for it? You see how passionate I got? I haven't been passionate for 55 minutes.
I think we are. I think it's time for a receiver like Hines Ward, because these corners and safeties don't know how to get hit.
No, Hines Ward's going to teach you to lay somebody.
If you're a receiver and you hit a corner that hard, that corner will not come close to you for the rest of the game.
Or we're getting flagged.
Are officials ready for it? Yeah, good point.
Yeah, we're getting flagged.
Might as well just do it, though, and let officials catch up.
If we're going to set up for the fourth quarter, you might as well just have as many personal fouls in the first half anyways.
I got it. Here's mine. I've got Ohio State winning, and I've got Notre Dame winning off the high of beating Georgia. But my key to these games coming up before the national championship game, one key, tight end. I think tight end leaks and leak passes and things like that are going to be huge for both teams, and I think they're going to make the other team look silly. Like, there's going to be wide open tight ends, and maybe, unlike Georgia, wide open equals reception and not drop pass.
I agree. So I'm going to pick Penn State because their tight end won the Broyles Award.
He's a stud.
Yep.
He's a stud.
And he plays fullback and quarterback and slot.
It's a good pick. So Matthew picked Texas and Penn State, and we all picked the opposite. So there you go. Anything you want to add on from episode 2?
I got nothing.
Okay. Number 2 is ready with 0. How about you, Will?
I think this was a great episode.
57 minutes. We made it an hour again. That's pretty impressive. Love, thanks for taking time to hang out with us. Much more difficult for you. Anything you want to add before we say bye?
No, just love you, boys.
Love you, too.
We love you, too. All right, you two can drop off, and Matthew and I will wrap this bad boy up.
All righty, yeah. See ya.
See ya. Hey, another episode in the books. What do you think?
I think it was a good one.
I think so, too. I think there won't be as much editing.
No, because we just kind of went this entire time.
Yeah. And
maybe just some dead space here and there.
I was prepared. You definitely weren't.
I was very prepared. I definitely didn't break my microphone in the first 10 minutes.
All right. So start thinking about what we're going to talk about next week. And then next week would be, so this will go out on, today's Monday. This will go out on Wednesday. So next week would be Wednesday. See, I'm prepared now. Would be Wednesday the 15th, right? And so Wednesday the 15th, you'll have big news for everybody. Not now, but Wednesday the 15th, right?
What's happening Wednesday the 15th?
You can at least talk about something that's coming up a couple days after that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and we'll give you one of these.
Woohoo.
Well, woohoo. So say cheese to Ellie so that she knows that we love her.
Pizza.
Pizza. And we're signing off. Thanks for listening to another episode of Rocking Chair Ramblings.